Hello, this is Chuck Swindoll. Glad to have you with us today. And let me encourage you to stay with us all the way through today's program, all the way to the end. I have something very important to share with you. Thanks.
If you have children in your care, or perhaps you have adult children rearing families of their own, you know what it means to find that delicate balance between strong discipline and gentle affirmation. Proverbs 15 verse 4 says, "A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit." Well, today on Insight for Living, you'll hear one of the most highly requested sermons based on Proverbs and designed to help us shape a child's will without crushing his or her spirit. We'll begin our time together in prayer before hearing the practical message on shaping the will with wisdom.
Now for our prayer today, in a little unusual way, let's turn to hymn number 705. I want us to read this hymn together, omitting the refrain until we get to the fourth verse, and then read on into the refrain at that time. It may help this to be more meaningful if you remember the one who wrote it, Horatio Spafford, had just lost his four daughters at sea. And he wrote this song as he was on the ship going over to England, where his wife made it safely, and as he crossed the place where the girls were drowned, he wrote this hymn. Let's read it meaningfully and slowly together. Please note what you are saying as you read it together. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, and clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. How easy it is, our Father, to read words from a page, to say the words without fully entering into them in light of the challenges, trials, and losses in life. The only one who can make it well with our soul is the one to whom we offer this hymn prayer today. You are the one who gives us strength to endure, to go on, to find a reason for living when we have lost those who meant so much to us. We are so grateful for a land that's still free because it has birthed and released to the battlefield lives who were brave, courageous, filled with love for country and a commitment to liberty. For that and 1,000 other reasons, on this wonderful weekend, it is well with our souls. Watch over those who diligently carry out their duties in places far away and nearby, and for families who love them and await their return. Part of the reason it is well with our souls today is the freedom we enjoy in this time of public worship. No official will break into this meeting and take over. No one will put us in another room with a gun to our head. No one will invade our homes and take our privacy. We are able to live because of your grace, and because you, in grace, have provided brave men and women who would stand firm for the things we hold dear, even to the point of death. It is well with our souls also because we have a Savior who took our sin and nailed it to the cross, so we no longer must bear the grief, the shame, the guilt, and the burden of it. Praise the Lord, O my soul, in the name of our Savior Jesus.
Listening to Insight for Living. And you'll find creative resources for personal study on today's subject at insightworld.org. And now the message from Chuck Swindoll, Shaping the Will with Wisdom.
Abuse is unfair and shocking. Appropriate discipline is fair and expected. Abuse is degrading and demoralizing to the child. Appropriate discipline upholds the dignity and the value of each one. Now, there is a difference between crushing and shaping a will. In fact, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13 speaks to this. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit, look at this, is broken. You could paraphrase it, the spirit is crushed. When it's handled well, there is joy and gratitude. When it's handled incorrectly, there is a crushing of the spirit. Crushing takes away creativity, and other healthy, God-given strengths are destroyed. Whereas the shaping of the will, the child learns that consequences accompany wrongdoing. May I add also a word so that you will all understand that children are children? There are certain normal, childish things that happen that are not defiance. They're just being a kid, okay? Among the normal childishness, we would find the need to learn and to grow and to make mistakes. Every child, it seems, on Easter Sunday, after being dressed in a beautiful white outfit, will find the one muddy spot in the yard and stomp in it before you leave for church. That's childish behavior. They do it. Childishness results in a kid stuffing all kinds of things in his pocket, like bugs, frogs, lizards, snakes, slugs. I'm trying to remember all the things I put in my pocket as I was growing up. Listen to defiance. Defiance is the deliberate and stubborn resistance to obey. Defiance is hateful, selfish acts. Defiance is harming and bullying others. It is marked by repeated disobedience, sassing, spitting, cursing, temper tantrums, a sour attitude, being belligerent and demanding. In fact, even threatening parents, even threatening adults. Which brings me to one hilarious story. It's about time for a laugh, isn't it? All of you look like you've just attended the graveside service of a good friend, so let me lift your spirit a little. Sometimes children realize that certain folks in authority over them cannot lay a hand on them. So they take advantage of that by intensifying their rebellion. It can become a pretty defiant standoff. At those times, all that can be done is verbal, but don't think for a moment that all is in vain. I'm grateful for the words of my longtime friend James Dobson, who writes this in one of his books. In the absence of parental leadership, when some children become extremely obnoxious and defiant, it can happen in public places. Perhaps the best example was a 10-year-old boy named Robert, who was a patient of my pediatrician friend, William Sloniker. Dr. Sloniker said his pediatric staff dreaded the days when Robert was scheduled for an office visit. He literally attacked the clinic, grabbing instruments and files and telephones. His passive mother could do little more than shake her head in bewilderment. During one physical exam, Dr. Sloniker observed severe cavities in Robert's teeth and knew that the boy must be referred to a local dentist. But who would be given the honor? A referral like Robert could mean the end of a professional friendship. Dr. Sloniker eventually decided to send him to an older dentist who reportedly understood children. The confrontation that followed now stands as one of the classic moments in the history of human conflict. Love the way he puts that. Robert arrived at the dental office prepared for battle. Get in the chair, young man, said the doc. No chance, replied Robert. Son, I told you to climb up onto the chair, and that's what I intend for you to do, said the dentist. Robert stared at his opponent for a moment and then replied, if you make me get in that chair, I will take off all my clothes. The dentist calmly said, son, take them off. The boy forthwith removed his shirt, undershirt, shoes, and socks, and then looked up in defiance. All right, son, get in the chair. You didn't hear me, said Robert. I said, if you make me get on that chair, I will take off all my clothes. Take them off, son, replied the dentist. Take them all off. Robert proceeded to remove his pants and shorts, finally standing there totally naked before the dentist and his assistant. Now, son, get in the chair. Robert did as he was told and sat cooperatively through the entire procedure, completely naked. When the cavities were drilled and filled, he was instructed to step down from the chair. Now, give me my clothes back, said Robert. No, son, we're not going to do that. Tell your mother that we're going to keep your clothes tonight. She can pick them up tomorrow. Can you comprehend the shock of Robert's mother when the door to the waiting room opened and there stood her pink son, as naked as the day he was born? The room was filled with patients. But Robert and his mom walked past them and into the hall. They went down a public elevator and onto the parking lot, ignoring the snickers of onlookers. The next day, Robert's mother returned to retrieve his clothing and asked to have a word with the dentist. However, she did not come to protest. These were her sentiments. You do not know how much I appreciate what happened here yesterday. You see, Robert has been blackmailing me about his clothes for years. Whenever we're in a public place, such as a grocery store, he makes unreasonable demands of me. If I don't immediately buy him what he wants, he threatens to take off all his clothes. You are the first person who has called his bluff, and the impact on Robert has been incredible. Isn't that great? Isn't that good? When I first read that story years ago, and one of my children listening, one of our sons, said, Dad, were the assistants men or women? Isn't that a great question? That's defiance. You know it. I know it. What was done was not abuse. What was done was essential. Just as you will find in your life as a parent, that dealing with defiance isn't a nice option. It is the hard work of parenting. Not to the point where your love is eclipsed. Of course not. Don't run there. Your love is to overshadow the entire atmosphere of the home. The harmony of a home is something beautiful to witness. However, there are times when the child must be taken alone and dealt with alone for the sake of his own future. And those who will one day teach him, those who will one day stop him in traffic to give him a ticket, those who will one day marry him, you're doing a great favor by helping your child understand what it is to take control of his or her life. Several of the Proverbs are worth studying, and you know that. And I would commend this book to you if you are a parent. Look for verses that mention son, daughter, father, mother, training, children. The book is replete with references. This is a grand book of counsel for you to follow. You must do so with wisdom and great discernment. Look for a moment at, again, Proverbs chapter 3. Please turn. Proverbs 3, verse 11, verse 12. My son, by the way, this is in one of the my son sections of Proverbs. I take it literally. I believe Solomon is writing to one of his sons. As you would say to your son, or I would say to one of mine when a child. Son, listen up. Do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. Here's why. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves. Even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. I once had a very experienced father of four say to me, children can forgive you of anything, but the hardest would be that you never disciplined them as you should have. Because you see, they are now living in the consequences, the backwash of an undisciplined life. Some don't realize that until they're behind bars. Now you hear this verse and you see, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves. And you're ready to say, oh, that's Old Testament. I mean, come on, Chuck. That sounds pretty strong to me, really. Then let's turn to the New Testament where that is quoted. Hebrews chapter 12. Lest you think that Proverbs is a little too strong, Hebrews 12 even develops the idea further. We're now in the New Testament, as if that makes any difference. Verse 5. You have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. Now look at the verse. You're going to read just what we read in Proverbs. He's quoting from Solomon's words. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved for him, when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. That's even stronger. He scourges. Don't answer out loud, but do you remember the last time the Lord scourged you? Most of us can recall it as vividly as if it were yesterday. He means business. He doesn't mess around with his children. This tells us why. Verse 7. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. Now look at the question. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. The original language is stronger. I'll not quote it. It's a sign of not really belonging to the man. Because this says, you are to be one who deals fairly and consistently with wrongdoing. Verse 9, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us, this is earthly fathers, they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. Remarkably, the disciplined life turns into a holy life, not a life of fear. We are not frightened of God. We respect him, however. He's our father. We know that he means business. We take him seriously. Some of us have learned the hard way that he means what he says. Verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Well, of course. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
How good is that?
There is nothing like discipline to soften the stubborn, defiant will in every one of us. We do the same thing over and over and over, just as we did as children. And the Lord one day says, that's enough. That's enough. And he brings discipline into our lives, and it is painful beyond belief. Some get it behind bars. Some get it with a wife who cannot live another day under their brutal hand. Or from a husband who says, that's all I can take. This kind of discipline is necessary. It is not abuse. It is not abuse. You know what occurred to me recently? Listen to this. Just an original thought with me. I don't have many, so don't miss this one. There are horse whisperers, people who know the language of horses, and they can talk to horses, and the horse will just get the message. There are dog whisperers, aren't there? You've seen the guy on TV. This dog, the guy walks in, the dog goes, hum. I don't know why. He's a dog whisperer. There are no child whisperers. Correction, they're called parents. They're called parents. Not grandparents, parents. Grandparents, and I am one, and I love the role. I do not lay a hand of discipline on my grandchildren. That's not my place. I do affirm their parents. I uphold their parents. One of my goals, one of Cynthia's and my goal, is to let our grandchildren know what great parents they have. Mine is a role of affirming and undergirding the parental boundaries that are set by their parents. How wrong it is for a grandparent to undermine the authority of parents by giving a grandchild whatever he wants, whenever. Now, there are times when you can give in a little. Grandparents' privileges. But you never deliberately know what the parent said is wrong and then say, well, literally, that's okay.
Well, there's much more from this message we need to hear. We're talking about shaping the will with wisdom. You're listening to Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living. Find us online at insightworld.org. With the time constraint of this half-hour program, we rarely have the occasion to hear a full-length, uninterrupted presentation from Chuck. Most of his sermons are about 1 hour in length. For that reason, you'll want to own the CD of today's message, available on CD or a downloadable MP3 file. It's one of the 6 sermons included in this month's special offer, a collection of the most highly requested messages from last year. It's called Wisdom for Home and Work, Listener Favorites, Volume 2. And it's yours when you give a much-needed donation as we close the books on another financial year. So go to insight.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, give us a call at 1-800-772-8888. Chuck?
If you're in the business world, you likely have some idea what it means to close the books on a financial year. Well, at Insight for Living, our nonprofit organization will close the financial year on June 30. The day is coming soon. Fiscal year end, we call it. Yes, it's an accounting term, a mile marker, an annual turning point for bookkeepers and accountants and ministries like ours. At Insight for Living, it's far more than any of those business terms. We've set financial goals for June 30 that need to be met. That's the business part. But this is not a business. You know this, it's a ministry. And so when I hear the deadline on June 30, I think about people, men and women like you, folks who rely on us to dispense and declare the truth of God's Word day in and day out. Sure, we run Insight for Living like an efficient business behind the scenes because we know that's prudent and that's wise. We have a wonderful staff to help us do that. But we have never lost sight of those we reach and the one we serve. So now, can I count on you to help us? Your generous donation today will not only care for the business side of this ministry, but far more important, your donation will help us reach more people with insight for living. Today's the day. I'm counting on you.
And let me give our contact information so you can respond to Chuck Swindoll. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or if it's easier for you, just go online and make your donation at insight.org. When you give a donation today, remember to request the special audio collection called Wisdom for Home and Work, Listener Favorites, Volume 2. It's available on CDs or in MP3 files and contains 6 of the most highly requested sermons in the last year. Messages such as today's presentation, Shaping the Will with Wisdom, What to Do When You've Blown It, and suggestions for parenting grown-up kids. Go to insight.org. Well, if you've been listening to this program for a matter of months or even years, you've been the recipient of someone else's thoughtful generosity. We couldn't possibly continue on radio or the internet without the consistent financial help of our monthly companions. Perhaps today's the day you'll decide to raise your hand and say, yes, it's time for me to join the team as well. The process is simple. If you're listening in the United States, become a monthly companion when you call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. More Biblical Wisdom for Families coming up Wednesday when Chuck Swindoll talks about shaping the will with wisdom on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Shaping the Will with Wisdom, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2013 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.